But as we did yesterday, for those who missed yesterday, Donegal's constituencies are now one. Donald Kavanagh has a brief outline of how things have changed.
The 2016 general election will see Donegal move from being two three-seater constituencies to one five-seater. Part of the south of the county, including Ballyshannon and Bundoran, has been moved into the Sligo Leitrim constituency. Deputy Denny McGinley is retiring. He will not be returning to Leinster House. The other five sitting TDs join 11 other candidates in seeking election to the next Dáil. There are 116,680 people eligible to vote in the Donegal constituency in the election on Friday next. Islanders will vote on Thursday. The largest concentration of voters is in the Letterkenny electoral area with 31,274 voters, followed by Inishowen with 30,582 and Lenties with 22,318. There are 19,663 voters in the Stranorer electoral area, and in the Donegal electoral area there are 14,952 people registered in the Donegal constituency. A further 6,885 people in the Donegal electoral area are now within Sligo Leitrim.
Thank you, Donal. Now we've invited all the candidates, and most of them have attended. Those who haven't, you can draw your own conclusions from that. Gary Doherty of Sinn Féin, though he is unable to attend this evening, he informed us a little earlier today that it's for health reasons, so we wish him a speedy recovery. But we will crack on, and as we did yesterday, we'll give each candidate today just a minute to begin with, or thereabouts, just to outline what they think they can bring to the table. We'll start with Fine Gael's Paddy Hart. Paddy?
Well, my name is Paddy Hart. I've worked in education and economic development for all of my career, and my passion is the delivery or the development of Donegal and its people. While working for the International Fund for Ireland, I negotiated over 200 million into Donegal, 75% of which went into disadvantaged communities. I chaired the gathering in 2013 with over 100 events. We had one of the most successful in the country. In education, I hope it changed the lives of many young people in a positive way. I continue this work as a member of the board of the International Fund and with Social Finance Ireland. Ultimately, Donegal needs expertise in government to deliver the resources it deserves. The key message of my campaign is based not on a series of unrealistic promises. It is based on bringing expertise into the future development of Donegal in government.
OK, we look forward to teasing that out. Independent Niamh Kennedy.
Yeah, independent. Joined the Independent Alliance in June, and part of the one-year initiative also. I want to put Donegal first. I've always put Donegal first, particularly, I suppose, I started off with my community. I worked for over 20 years in the fishing industry, and also I spent 6 years as chair of the Killybegs Community Council, which I put an awful lot of work into. So I topped the poll in 2014 in our municipal district in Donegal for the first time to run, because I believed that it was time for a change, that we need more independent voices representing the people, and I wanted to give democracy a try. So I felt that it was time for to make a change and to make a difference. I would have been, as I say, the year and a half that I've been in Donegal County Council, I've learned an awful lot. I've seen an awful lot of issues out there and problems, and I would like to be able to help. And anybody I have helped so far, I'm delighted to say I've helped a lot of people.
OK, Niamh, thank you very much for that. And we'll go around the table as people have seated themselves. Michael Mooney, independent.
Yes, my name's Michael Mooney. I'm running as an independent. I'm from Kildare, and I currently live in Letterkenny. I have no political background, therefore you cannot blame me for the mess this country is in today, but I do ask everyone to be aware who did. I am campaigning against the unjust taxes, charges, fees, levies and corruption going on in our society and our government today. I have campaigned against water charges, meter installations, Irish water, property tax, corruption and evictions and repossessions. I have had successes in stopping meter installations and also on people losing their homes. I have educated the nation on the scam that is Irish Water and the contractors due to a clip that went viral with about 1 million views at this stage. I have signed up to the Right to Change principles and the one-year initiative. My campaign has gone on against Irish Water for the past year and a half, but it goes back to 3 or 4 years against the unjust, immoral and probably unconstitutional property tax as referred to by Enda Kenny in 1994. My campaign is very simple. It's basically one poster in every village I'm relying on social media and all the anti-water charge protesters, the anti-meter install protesters.
Okay, we'll have plenty of opportunity to get the rest of it. Independent Councillor Frank McBurty.
Frank McBurty. Some people know me as Frank McBurty Jr. I'm now 7 years as a full-time public representative. I've been Mayor of Donegal, and I was elected, the first independent councillor elected in the last local elections, and the only one to reach the quota in the first count. Everyone knows my stance on corruption, especially what has happened currently in Donegal County Council with the John O'Donnell scandal. My background would be in sport and community. I've supported numerous different community projects, and I have a huge knowledge of sport, and I have helped many sports clubs achieve the things that they have achieved over the last 7 years on the council. I helped get the funding for the Finn Valley Swimming Pool. I've got funding for the Lifford Athletic Track. I've managed to get funding for the boxing clubs right around the county. I've also got funding for a new football pitch in Rafoe, which is currently under construction. And I've helped many clubs right across the county. My real passion is sport and community. And if elected, my top priority will be to stand up for the people of Donegal in a way that no one else has ever stood up for the people of Donegal.
Okay, again, look forward to teasing that out with you. Sinn Féin's Padraig McLaughlin.
Padraig McLaughlin, and I have been privileged to serve as a public representative for 14 years now, five of those as a TD for Donegal North East. And I've spent all of those years fighting against the neglect of this county. In the last 5 years in particular, I've again and again raised the cuts to our health service, the fact that we have Letterkenny University Hospital, the seventh largest hospital in the state, that has the lowest allocation of budget, the lowest allocation of hospital staff in relation to the numbers going through the hospital, the most neglected hospital in the state. I've fought against the threats to NowDoc. I fought against the water charges, the property tax, and I fought for investment equality for this county in terms of infrastructure and our public services.
Okay, Tim Jackson, Independent.
Thank you, Greg. I'm standing in this election, Greg, because I love this county and this country with every fibre of my being, and I'm so disappointed to see it being dragged into disrepute, essentially, by incompetent leadership. And to me, there's a terrible crisis of leadership in this country that's causing dysfunction at every level of society. It can only really be corrected by replacing those politicians who are holding this country back, career class politicians who essentially have feathered their own nest whilst so many people in this society have suffered. And so I'm asking for a mandate from the people of this county to go to Dublin to fight tooth and nail for this county, for the services and provisions that we need so that we can lead lives in this county that are fulfilling, and we can correct so many of the problems that are afflicting this home.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Tim. And finally, Fianna Fáil's Pat the Cope Gallagher.
Well, I have experience. I believe I'm dedicated, I'm committed, and I'm hardworking. I've served as a member of Donegal County Council, as a Dáil Deputy, as a Minister of State, and as an MEP. I believe that my experience is important at this particular time when I hope to represent Donegal in the next Dáil. I see my role as a TD as a twofold role. One, of course, in relation to legislation, but the other one equally as important, to provide a service to the people of Donegal. First of all, to individuals, to families, and to communities. And I do believe that I've done this over a long period of time. I could, of course, after my defeat in the European Parliament, by the slenderest of margins, decided that I wouldn't continue. But I see an opportunity to regain that seat in South West Donegal, to work, if elected, with my colleague Charlie McConnell, whom I hope will be elected, to give a service to this county. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's galling sometimes to listen. You know, Donegal's been totally neglected. I have been involved in many major developments.
Well, you'll have an opportunity to go through those.
I'm saying to the people that if they want a safe pair of hands, mm-hmm. if they want who's dedicated, committed, if they want one who's on call 7/24, then I'm one that I believe you should vote for.
Well, you know, there's going to be some repeating of issues we discussed yesterday. That is inevitable. In the last 10 minutes, the HSE's released a press release saying the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital is extremely busy as a result. It's seen an increase in the number of patients waiting for admissions. As a result of this, they've admitted that it's going to take longer to get people into a bed. The people are going to experience delays. There's a deferral of most elective surgeries. We regret, they say, having to postpone any elective procedure and recognise that it can be distressing for patients and families. Yesterday, there was no one on trolleys. Paddy Hart, I might start with you. You mentioned realistic and unrealistic in your preamble. What realistically do you think you could do, if elected, to address what is clearly a crisis at Letterkenny University Hospital?
Yeah, it is. Realistically, the population base between ourselves, Letterkenny, Strabane and Derry, is more than enough to provide the proper services. I have worked on a cross-border basis for 20, 25 years. I see the long-term solution to this as shared services between ourselves and Alton, Galvin and Derry. It's something that we need to work really, really hard at.
And you believe that would be addressing the kind of issues we're discussing this evening?
Yeah, well, this is a recurring issue. It recurs because we will not ever have the capacity on our own in Letterkenny to solve this problem.
Niamh Kennedy, do you want to come in there?
Yeah, I do actually. I think it's wrong here. There's something fundamentally wrong. I think for a start off, our primary care centres and our GPs are passing the problems down the line. Everybody has been pushed on down to the A&E department of Letterkenny General Hospital. There was a time when you used to be able to go to the doctor and you would be able to get a stitch. Nowadays, if you go in with a cut in your hand, you're sent down the road to A&E. You're sent down the road to NowDoc. It's not good enough. All the problems are pushed in, and that's where the problem. It also lies with the ambulance service as well. It's the same thing. Our local GPs and care services are just passing these problems down, and I think patients are just not being treated in a proper fashion because of this.
Deputy McLaughlin, you mentioned this specifically. You mentioned this hospital specifically in your introduction. Obviously, they're in a great crisis there at the moment. Do you share Paddy Hart's solution?
Well, there's no doubt, like the radiotherapy unit in Alton and Galvin will be ready later this year in the autumn, and that's down to the dedicated campaign of women, mostly, who are living with breast cancer, having to travel long distances, who campaigned courageously for that. But in terms of Letterkenny Hospital, we have, as I said earlier, the seventh largest hospital in the state, 21,000 inpatients going through every year. It has been systematically neglected over the years, chronic underinvestment. And there has to be a plan. And what Sinn Féin has laid out is we have said we are not going to cut the USC. That's an unpopular thing to say, but we're not going to cut it. We're going to focus on the health service. 3.3 billion additional investment, 6,600 frontline staff. It's about choices. And if we're serious about turning around what we've seen in our hospital, if we're serious about turning around what we've seen recently in our community hospitals, our nursing units in Remelton, then that means investment, that means a plan, and Sinn Féin had laid that plan before the people.
Frank Roberti?
Well, first of all, I don't agree with Paddy. I do agree with Patrick.
What don't you agree with Paddy on?
Well, I don't agree. First of all, Letterkenny General Hospital should have been a regional hospital, and it should have been made a regional hospital long before Van Gael went.
Is Sligo not a regional hospital?
Yes, it is. No, but
it's still suffering the same problems.
Are you going to let me answer the question?
Well, no, I'm going to ask you questions.
Well, I'm answering the question.
Well, I'm chairing this. Frank, it's going to be a long evening.
Well, first of all,
I'm simply asking.
I'm giving you my reason.
Did the regional
well,
status help Sligo?
Is one of the biggest geographic counties in the whole of Ireland, and our hospital should be a regional hospital and funded to be a regional hospital.
Did it help Sligo? That's all I'm asking you.
I'm not interested in Sligo. I'm only interested in Donegal. First and foremost.
Well, I'll just inform you, a lot of people from South Donegal, Sligo Regional Hospital is their hospital.
Yeah, that's our hospital,
if you're not interested
in part it. That part of Donegal now is not actually even in our constituency.
It actually is as well.
No, it's not Ballintra to Bundoran.
Well, if you're in Donegal Town, you sent to Sligo.
Donegal Town, I'd be standing up for the people in Donegal Town, but the first question you've asked me is concerning Letterkenny General Hospital.
Yes,
I would ask you not to interrupt me when I'm speaking.
Okay, go ahead.
All right? You didn't interrupt the rest. Now, first of all, Letterkenny General Hospital and other candidates sitting here have called for accountability at Letterkenny General Hospital. Now, I have members of staff that come to me on a daily basis that are not allowed to speak publicly. Their right to freedom of speech has been taken away from them about the problems that are actually ongoing with management in that hospital. So that's the first thing that we need to tackle at a national level, accountability, which is not in the, within the HSE. As a former member of the Western Health Board, the Western Health Forum in Galway, I had to stop going to it with pure frustration, because I was able to do the same things by email and by telephone and by contacting John Hayes here in Donegal. So there needs to be a complete restructure of the HSE, in my opinion.
Well, you'd retain the HSE?
No, I wouldn't. I would demand that it be restructured. And as Fianna Fáil has said over the last number of years, go back to the old Western Health Board situations where you have a fantastic facility, you have a fantastic conference room in Manor Hamilton, which has not even been used, which the Fianna Fáil party brought about at the time, but the HSE then was introduced. I mean, why can't the members of Donegal County Council that represent us at local level go to Manor Hamilton and deal with the issues locally at Manor Hamilton instead of having to travel to Galway to get no answers?
Tim Jackson?
I think what we've seen with the HSE for decades now is recurring chaos, and ultimately it's patients who are suffering and staff. But really, I'm not convinced by the plans any of the political parties have
outlined. Well, what are you suggesting?
So, what I'm suggesting is simply the common sense solution, which I imagine is appointing a director general to the HSE who has experience of successfully running a national health service. And if that person is appointed and given the power to correct the failings in the system, to get rid of the layers of management that are holding it back and all the inefficiencies with it, then I think that we don't have to continue to waste billions of taxpayers' money throwing money at an agency that is simply a Bermuda Triangle when it comes to our money, and it's not benefiting the patients and staff.
Pádraic O'Gallagher?
Well, first of all, I want to say that Letterkenny Derry was mentioned. I was at the inaugural meeting when I was in the Department of Health with Minister Majimski when we met in County Louth and put in place the template for the Altmaghfirlin service. And I'm very pleased that the critical mass is important to have east part of west part of Derry.
I'm not taking the credit,
and I would like to thank Pádraic that I wouldn't be interrupted all the time by members of the
Don't take credit away from the women who campaigned.
Well, can allow me to finish.
Give credit where credit's due to the women who campaigned.
And their notes are there.
I didn't take credit.
Okay, Deputy McLaughlin, if you just let Pádraic finish.
I'm stating a fact, and Pádraic, if you don't like to listen to facts, well, I can't help that. The DACC and the Northwest Cancer Care Group, and I worked very closely with them over the years, but it's a fact that I was there at that first meeting with Mary Harney when we took that decision. Furthermore, accident emergency is very worrying. What is the answer? I believe we need more beds. Why is there a backup in accident emergency?
Well, you need staff for that.
You need staff. And what we will do over the next number of years, we'll provide 400 extra hospital beds where they're required. And of course, we will also ensure that we have 4,000 additional nursing staff.
Both of you mentioning DACC as if, you know, everything that's happened, they'd be completely content with, which is not the case at all. A question from Betty Holmes. With the upcoming election, we DACC are asking you to please tell us what you and your party will do directly and the time frame to ensure cancer and other key services are both protected where necessary, reinstated and developed into the future at Letterkenny Hospital. So, Frank, do you want to come back in this? So it's not
take away the lane from Galway to Dublin and give us a centre of excellence in Donegal, the most isolated county in Ireland.
You don't think Derry is sufficient?
It doesn't deal with all the issues of cancer in Donegal. It's very welcome, and I have to agree with Pádraic on this. The community groups and the different charity organisations, that wouldn't have happened. And even the cancer services that are in Letterkenny, if it hadn't been for the charity organisations, it wouldn't have happened. But what I'm saying is the red line from Galway to Dublin needs to be moved up closer to Donegal, because the journey from Donegal to Galway in particular, if you're suffering from cancer, is a severe journey for anyone who has to travel that, even for a biopsy. The rights of Irish citizens in Donegal, we're classed as second-class citizens compared to other parts of the country. Let's make a priority to move the line up closer to Donegal.
Michael Mooney, do you want to come in on that?
Yes, well, thankfully I have had very little of experience of having to visit Letterkenny Hospital, probably about four times in the last 20 years, and two of those occasions was for the flooding. To what is the flooding going on in the hospital? I would be embarrassed and ashamed to be the manager in that hospital. I heard on Highland not that long ago where the manager himself was speaking about cleaning equipment and mop heads on your show or on the Sean Doherty show, and I thought that was the lowest of the low. And not only that, when Leo Varadkar recently visited the hospital, he had more, his plan was, or what he actually did was, he hid all the flood damage material and cleaned up the hospital for Leo's visit, when he should have been leaving everything as it was for Leo to inspect and see the damage and the precautions they had to take around the hospital. Also, in your on your show there, about one guy describing it as a war zone. He was on a trolley after coming in from a road accident, and he was asked to give up his trolley to sit in a chair with a back injury so as they could use the trolley to go out and take another casualty in from an ambulance.
Paddy Hart, when you hear this type of stuff, and the party that you're a member of, and it's happened under, things I think most people have stated, whether it's the case or not, that things have deteriorated under James Riley and then subsequently Leo Varadkar. What's your feelings personally about that? That this is the administration that you're looking to sort of, increase the numbers in the Dáil in?
Well, firstly, I'm looking to get elected. I haven't been elected. I have not been a public representative, so I don't take any responsibility for decisions.
You've said that a couple of times.
Yeah, it's a very good principle of management. You cannot expect someone to take responsibility for a decision that they weren't party to. And equally, in terms of accountability, you must hold people responsible for the decisions they've made. So it's a very good principle of management.
On that basis, you'll never be held responsible because entering into a party with a whip system, so you'll never make a decision of your own.
Me? Oh no, you don't know me.
So you're saying that you will not.
I'll make my own mind.
You'll not go with the whip.
Own mind up at what I do. I'll make that my own mind up. But in terms of the question you've asked me, there are a few facets to it. I first of all must say, I've had very good reason to sit in Letterkenny General Hospital all through the night at times. And I have nothing but the highest of admiration and respect for the staff in those hospitals. They have been fabulous. I don't want to go into it personally, but they have been absolutely...
Nobody mentioned the staff. People have mentioned management. We're not criticising the staff, Paddy. We're criticising the management in the hospital.
I didn't say that anyone mentioned... I just want to say that because that's what I feel. You asked me personally what I felt. And there is, as Niamh said, there is a lot of pushing from the GPs, and there is good reason why lots of procedures that have been sent up to the accident and emergency could be dealt with elsewhere.
All could be done, why has it not happened?
I think it's a lack of will from our GPs, to be honest with you, a lot of the time. Our community hospitals are definitely not being utilised enough. There's no question about that. We have people driving past X-ray departments in local community hospitals, and they're being sent to Letterkenny. And the reason why they've been sent to Letterkenny is that they're being told that their X-ray results is going to come back quicker, which is actually not true at all. So there's an awful lot of that carry on to go on. The other thing is the young nurses. Mm. I mean, we were talking to young nurses the other day. They're being totally exploited. They're on a minimum wage. It's on $6.49 an hour. That is crazy.
Okay. Well,
could I just make 2 points?
Yes, Pat the Coke Gallagher.
In respect of GPs, GPs are doing a fantastic job in rural land. I come some distance from here, about 40, 45 minutes from Letterkenny, and we have great GPs there, but they're under extreme pressure. And as our GP gets older, we have to create an atmosphere conducive to attracting young GPs into the area. In the second lane, we seem to have ignored the National Treatment Purchase Fund. I said another program recently, that's for the rich. The National Treatment Purchase Fund is for everybody. And when we had that, and people were on waiting lists for a long time, they could go into Derry, they could go to other parts of the country. So I think we must reinstate that as quickly as possible.
Let's just look at the services in the hospital. Orthodontics, neurology, rheumatology, diabetes, even the consultant orthopaedic, Peter O'Rourke, spoke out the other day. It's a third consultant, Kevin Moran, in urology, Michael Sugru in breast cancer care. All of them have said that the issue is they don't have enough doctors, don't have enough nurses, don't have enough capacity. That is because of years of underinvestment and neglect. And what I don't hear, frankly, particularly from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, is an actual plan. The National Treatment Purchasing Fund is privatisation of our health service. We need to invest in our public health system, and that means our nursing units, our community hospitals, it means our GP primary care system, it means our hospital system. And Sinn Féin have laid a plan on the table. We've said something very unpopular. We're not going to cut the USC. It's $4 billion
a year.
Well,
is that unpopular? I mean, it seems to be the opinion polls suggest people actually prefer more spending than tax cuts.
I think that if you're saying to, we would take 250,000 of the lowest paid of the USC, but there are hundreds of thousands of workers who are paying the USC. It's clearly not popular to say to them that we're not going to cut it, but we have to be real here. If you want the health system, the education system, the public system that we deserve in this country, that means investment in it.
Okay, last two comments on health.
The bigger parties are more interested in private-public sector partnerships. We should be investing in people, not in the private-public sector, where they want to build massive amounts of nursing homes, primary care units, millions that are going into the back pocket of big developers. We should be investing that money in the hospitals and the GP care that is on the ground, that is very good there at the minute. But I also want to touch on the fact that the unconstitutional issue of the student nurses when they go to do their internship, who are fully qualified, people promoting to bring nurses in from other countries, when we have nurses here that are getting paid less than €7 an hour, even less than the minimum wage. The minimum wage now is $9.15 an hour. And the issue here is that student nurses are being treated not like second-class citizens, but like third-class citizens.
Okay, Tim.
Our plans are, and we have plans, I'm sure all of you have plans, we have plans for 500 extra consultants over 5 years and 4,000 additional nurses over. That's doing something. But in the short term, let's not dismiss the National Treatment Purchase Fund. Tell that to people who are at home waiting knee replacements, waiting hip replacements, waiting urgent replacements.
So you're saying that's a short-term measure?
Groundhog Day. Well, we've heard all this before.
Maybe sure. After Saturday
okay,
we'll
Groundhog Day. Tim, we've heard all these promises before.
Okay, fine. The real elephant in the room
and the most pressing issue for this county is the potential closure of three of our community hospitals over the coming years. The removal of long-term beds being the substantive issue in the next few months, and that still hasn't been dealt with by Fine Gael, and I'm still calling on Minister McHugh and the Fine Gael government to overturn that decision to remove those long-term beds from Remelton, Lifford and Stranorder, because they have gotten away with this issue for too long.
7 years, long okay. Before you even got into politics.
And
7 years,
so
I'll happily
join Frank the fight.
You, 7 years,
so you're saying
Lifford Hospital is still open because of me and because of the friends of Lifford Hospital.
So strength and numbers, Frank.
Strength and numbers. You know a lot about strength and numbers.
Frank McBurtie, surely they... Well, we'll try not to get down to just snipes. I mean,
I'm just telling you this now. I've been fighting for 7 years.
But that's all well and good. But if we could avoid the snipes,
members of my family,
I appreciate that. But if we could avoid
hospitals.
The snipes, what will happen? And I'm sorry to hear that. If we avoid the sniping,
what do you call it? Well, take a look at the video we put up today.
That's all well and good.
YouTube.
Well, if you want to discuss that, discuss
I will
that.
Discuss it.
But if you're going to discuss things sort of round the way, I don't know what you're on about, Michael Mooney.
Yeah, can we just remind everybody who's been practicing power now for the last 90 years, we're still talking about the state of our healthcare. Mary Harney was once there, and Micheál Martin, and now Mary's gone off with a big pension, left the state of the health services in today. James O'Reilly tried it for a while. Andy Kenney said he would end the scandal of patients on trolleys.
But Michael, you're looking to join this party. You know, as an independent, you'd be on up at about 120k a year. You know, you'd still
don't even bring money into it.
We shan't talk about money.
Well, the wages are scandalous, absolute scandalous.
So
that's what the salaries are. And Mary Harney's pension is a disgrace.
If I'm not mistaken, Tim has offered to do away with the leader's allowance for himself and also to halve his wage. What are you going to do?
Yeah, get everybody to agree that across the board.
But you won't do it yourself.
And unfortunately, the Donegal TV has refused to
cooperate with
that.
Are you not just joining the very machine that you're criticising?
I propose the cuts. Let everybody else agree to it and let's make the change.
Very finally, Niamh Kennedy, you wanted to comment?
Yeah, no, just back on that. Administration in the hospitals, I think, is a serious issue as well. Just because when you think about it, if you could get an appointment, say you're from Glenconkill or you're from Rafoe, and you have to be in Letterkenny General Hospital for 9 o'clock in the morning, you have to starve the night before, whatever. whatever it is. You know, it doesn't make sense. And then you have somebody that's just down the road that has the same appointment for 11 o'clock. You know, why can't administrators look at the addresses of the people and know, okay, they're 2 hours away.
Okay.
You know, sensible stuff like that needs to be dealt with.
Very finely, Paddy Hart.
Just a point of clarification. The student interns who were or are currently on 6:15 from the 1st of May will be going up to 9:45. So that's a, and they're very welcome with that outcome. Just a point of clarification.
Just a final point. This evening, I got news today and I heard it in Highland Radio on my way here this evening that Minister Leo Varadkar has abdicated his responsibility when it comes to the 3 community hospitals in this county.
That's
he's
right.
passed the buck. He said, well,
but he's not the Minister responsible.
He's not the Minister responsible, but
so
he has overall responsibility. She may have, delegated powers approved by the government, but he has overall responsibility, and they have told us now, pass the book, talk to her. And we tried to talk. I unearthed this back a number of weeks ago.
I unearthed this week,
and we will stand up and we'll let the people of the Finn Valley vote for their hospitals.
With all fairness, I think it was your party colleague, Charlie McConnell.
I wrote to Kathleen Lynch. I wrote to her. I'm very good at creating paper trails, as you know, Pat. I wrote to Kathleen Lynch and I put her on the spot, and you should read it out so the public can hear it.
But if I was reading documentation
well,
for everyone,
I wrote there and I've made it clear if she goes into government that if I get elected, I'll make her accountable.
Okay.
Spoke before about this, Greg.
Yes, Steve. Paddy. Easy to make.
I don't know. But we have a Minister for Health, Leo Varadkar. He's like a commentator. Like he comments on the health service. You'd think he wasn't responsible for any way, shape, or form. That's the problem.
I agree with this, and I am on record. I agree with Pat on this. There should be clarification. I'm not at all happy with this. Mm. I was born in Lifford Hospital,
Can you just finally on that? Because the last time you were on, there was a lot of correspondence about that, you know. Someone joked about, you know, maybe you could be the Minister for Clarification or something like that there. Just to give you an opportunity in fairness, what do you mean by that? What kind of clarification are you seeking specifically in a couple of sentences as it relates to long-term care beds at these three hospitals?
First of all, I firmly believe that people should have the right to be cared for in their own communities. That's an non-negotiable position with me. So in terms of clarification, the same clarification as Father John Joe's looking for.
Okay then, so
if you're going to talk about caring in the community, give us more money for housing and housing grants. I'm the chairman of the housing SBC and I've brought about huge changes in a year and a half where people now over 70 can actually get a full grant, an older age grant, an adaption grant and a mobility grant and don't have to put a penny towards it. If they're below the means test.
Okay.
And that should be lowered. It should be lowered to 66. So these are the type of commitments that government should be making when they go into government. That people's rights, who've worked all their life, who are on an ordinary contributory pension...
What can you do as an independent then?
Well, I can do a lot.
Like what?
Well, what have I done in Donegal County Council as an independent? I've held the 5 most powerful positions in the 7 years I'm in the council.
That's good for you, but what about...
Hold on a minute. I've made huge differences.
That's what I'm asking you. I don't know why...
You're
being incredibly confrontational, which is making this difficult.
No, I'm making a confrontation. You're making a confrontation because you seem to butt in and everything that I've got to say.
I'm asking because you've gone off on a tangent on housing.
No, I haven't.
I'm asking what would you do specifically in the Dáil?
Specifically what I would do is that I would make the government accountable for bringing about changes in legislation that are very much needed, such as reducing the age from 70 down to 66 to the age of retirement. For people who are applying for grants, I have people at the minute who are 66 who can't apply for these grants because they're not 70 and above. They're means tested below 70. And that is not right. Old age pensioners, in particular the ones that are over 70, should not be means tested, in my opinion. They should be treated equally.
We'll go on to
and we're not getting the funding to be able to give them the grants that they're entitled to. 10 million euros a year is raised and revenue from the council.
I think you've had plenty of time.
No, and it's redirected to other services. Donegal County Council has 150 million in debt. I would ask the next government to bail out Donegal County Council in order to Donegal County Council
that's fine.
To
can,
give
can,
the service that people of the county
are
entitled to.
Okay, well. As it relates to water charges, we'll start with you on my left, Pat the Cope Gallagher. Are you comfortable with this Fianna Fáil wishy-washy, pun intended, I suppose some would argue, abolition for 5 years of water charges. It's an abolition, but in 5 years we'll review the situation. Is that, well, firstly, do you support water charges? And what's your view on your party's stance on it?
Let me say, first of all, I paid my water charges. It's the law of the land, and I paid them. Secondly, we're not talking about 5 years. What we are saying that we'll abolish Irish water. That we will
for 5 years.
For a few years.
For the charges. I'm not about the charges.
First of all, hold on, let me hear this. That we will abolish Irish water. Mm-hmm. That there will be no charges until such time as we have good quality water. Let's put in the proper infrastructure, and when we have good quality water,
then you'll increase water charges.
Parik, I don't know what's about me. Every time I've tried to make a point, either you or one of your colleagues have crossed me. I don't do that.
Yeah.
I
wasn't accountable to your party. Yeah.
I'll be accountable. Yeah. And you can worry about your party. I'll worry about my part. Okay.
But,
just leave it at that point.
Okay. The reason why you're irritated is because you know I'm right. You're irritated because you know I'm right. That's why you're irritated.
Okay, definitely, Brockton, if we can.
I want to deal with the facts. I'll run away from nobody. And this studio or any other studio.
Okay, we'll be accountable. We're having a debate.
I'm telling
here.
You what we're doing.
We're having a debate.
I'm telling
let's
you
let's
what
debate.
You're doing. We're not putting it into a global tax like you people are doing in Northern Ireland. It's fine to have a general tax. Oh, we don't
absolute
charge global taxes.
Nonsense.
But it's in there.
Absolutely.
So we're
nonsense.
Going to wait until such time as we have a proper infrastructure in place, good quality water in place, and then we will consider it.
Paddy Hart, just going around in a clockwise order. What's your views on the water charges? You support them, you pay them?
I pay them because it's the law of the land. So I pay them.
It's not rubbish.
It's a bad law.
Well,
it's a just law.
It's a law of the land.
It's an unjust law.
It's a law of the land.
There are some paid TDs who said they wouldn't pay it.
Is it against the law?
They would pay it then. They wouldn't pay
it. Are you saying you can be taken to court and prosecuted?
Okay, if we could just give...
Are you saying you can be taken to court and prosecuted?
I don't know.
No, you said it was the law of the land.
That's where I pay it.
Can you be taken to court and prosecuted?
I don't know.
Well, no, you can't.
Okay, carry on with your point there.
So if you want, ask your brother-in-law, Peter Nolan, he'll tell you.
Well, can we concentrate on the people that are here? Paddy Hart, go ahead.
I stood back and I watched pretty much a mess unravel. I mean, for what it's worth, it should have remained within Donegal County Council. We are where we are. It certainly came at a bad time for all of us.
So would you then go back in government then and sort of say, I'm not supporting this now because I think it should be returned to the council?
In principle, yes. I don't know how difficult a proposition. I'm not close enough, but in principle, the utility should never have left Donegal County Council.
Okay. You want to finish? Are you happy enough? Niamh Kennedy?
Yeah, haven't paid my water. I think Irish Water should be scrapped. I've said this already. The councillors met with Irish Water before, down in Carrick and Shannon, months and months ago, way before any of the water meters were even installed. We asked them not to install them. This was a ridiculous waste of money, that they were going about things all wrong. And we already pay for our water, as we've stated before, so that's my stance on it. I haven't paid for my
Michael
water.
Mooney, we'll get to your stance on it. I've had the question come into me a few times, people asking, did you apply for a job to install water meters?
I'm just giving
you an opportunity to put it to bed because maybe it's popping up on social media as well.
Absolutely
I don't know.
Not. I wouldn't piss on Irish people like that. And that's what Irish Water are doing.
Proceed.
And everybody behind. Okay. It's the scandal of Irish Water. There'll be no water charges on my account anyway. As we've already heard here, we already pay for water, our motor tax, our VAT and our property tax. Where did our property tax go that was supposed to go for local services? What about the scandal of the setup of Irish Water? How was the contracts awarded? Who supplied the meters? This is the big question. Who is actually supplying these meters? And where do we get information about the meters they're installing underground? Nobody seems to know. I've had people coming out to install meters at properties I was working at. And they asked me, did I want a meter? And I said, no. Well, they should have been telling me that I didn't want a meter. But when I asked, have you got any information on the meter you're installing? Mm. They actually jumped into their van and left the scene again. This is the carry on.
Frank McBurty, have you paid yours or would you pay yours?
No, I have not and I will not be paying it. And it's not law as of yet. But I have no doubt, same as the property tax, that this government, if it's re-elected, and even if Fianna Fáil get into government, I believe, my own personal opinion is, that they'll probably introduce a law the same as the property tax, forcing people. But I'll tell you this. I will go to jail before I pay the property tax. And now, people have tried to put me in jail before and they weren't able.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take this the whole way, as far as I have to make a point that we as Irish citizens have a right to have free water. We're already paying enough for bankers. We're paying enough car insurance. We're paying extortionate fees for cars. And the issue here is, I'm not paying it, and I'm advocating people not to pay it. Old people in particular are very confused out there at the minute because they are of an understanding that they're breaking the law. They're actually not breaking the law at the minute.
Deputy Pádraig McLaughlin?
Concerning Irish water.
Your party's stance on this?
Well, it's well documented. If we're in government, the water charges are gone for good, and Irish water is gone. We pay for it already. You know, we pay two-thirds.
Are you disappointed the party's policy is not to refund those who even maybe inadvertently paid?
No, what we're saying very clearly is we will scrap water charges and scrap Irish water because it is unjust, because people have paid for it all of these years through their motor tax, through every time they fill their car or van with diesel or petrol. You know, we have paid for this all of the years. And, you know, what we're saying very clearly is the only party that can give a definitive commitment that it will be gone and Irish water scrapped with a plan is ourselves.
Okay, Tim Jackson?
I'm wholeheartedly against the water charges. One of the reasons being that it was foisted on us in the bailout terms that Fianna Fáil agreed and is unjust because we already pay for it three times through our taxes. But I'd also like to make the point that Sinn Féin, in my opinion, have little to no credibility on this issue. Their minister between 2007 and 2014 in the north installed 32,000 water meters in the north. They already pay for water through their rates. And
Sinn Féin TD,
Piers Doherty, came on this station and says he would pay it, and then they changed their minds and they wouldn't.
Can I just deal
and
with so, that, please, Greg?
So I don't think we can trust Sinn Féin. A party that implements austerity in the north and farms out those austerity decisions back to Westminster and allows people on the ground in the north to suffer those decisions, and then 10 miles over the border here in Letterkenny claims to be anti-austerity.
That's the point you made now.
He's made his point now. Can I respond? Thanks very much. Okay, in relation to this point, first of all, you know, the British government, the Tory government, control the budget to the north. So what you have in many respects is their budget line controls. But there are some powers that they have. And one of the issues was the British Tory government wanted Sinn Féin and the executive of the North to implement water charges. And we stood up against it. Not only did we not implement water charges, but we actually ensured there was an investment of £1 billion sterling in the North. You see, Tim, that's the facts.
This is part of the rates bill of £700.
You see, Tim, you see, this is a bit about facts, and you've just spoken about the nonsense.
I'm just giving you facts. I said that there were 32,000 water meters installed by the Sinn Féin minister. True or false?
The issue here is about water charges.
True or false?
The facts, Tim, and you've just spurted out a lot of nonsense. The facts are that the Tory government, there are no water charges in the north implemented.
Do you want to answer that question just about the water meters in case it's important to listen?
There
were meters installed as part of the infrastructure programme in the north. But the key point is the British Tory government wanted the Northern Executive, they were adamant that we had to implement water charges.
Okay.
And our Minister, Conor Murphy, stood steadfast against it and he invested £1 billion in infrastructure in the north. You see, this debate about is about facts, not about, rumours like this.
Moving on, if you don't mind, because there's an issue in the Finn Valley that's been upsetting a lot of people, and that's as it relates to the free bus travel and where the cut-off is. We were speaking to a lady who had a road measured for a forestry road measured effectively to ensure that her children could access free travel in the Finn Valley area when she wanted to go to St. Eunan's. We've had the same in Ishone. It's right across the county. Does anyone want to come in on that about how we could resolve it to make it a more fair system so families aren't going through this angst? Frank,
first of all,
I'll bring you straight in, Pat.
I live in the Finn Valley, Pat. And I was involved, I went over and I participated in the meetings in Castle Finn. And it's unconstitutional, as far as I'm concerned, that two brothers or two sisters can go to Balbafady School and then their sister or their brother is made to go to school in Raphoe. Now, I told them at the time that what they needed to do was take a constitutional challenge. Mm.
But that's beyond most people. If you don't mind me asking the question.
I'm giving the answers.
Okay. Those will you nod when I can ask the question?
I told them at the time that the political parties would ignore them, which they did do. Now, I'll give a commitment if I'm elected. If this campaign comes back up, I will take the case in the public interest to have that legislation changed about. And I have the legal teams to do it. And that's the problem that we've got with politicians at national level. They're not prepared to stand up for their communities.
Pat the Coke Gallagher?
The issue here is that a child, that families who have been going to schools for 50 years are now expected to go to a different area because of the bus routes. That is totally unconstitutional.
Pat the Coke Gallagher, can I come in?
That the constitutional
and
challenge.
You'll take that challenge.
I will take that challenge.
Pat the Coke Gallagher.
Well, first of all, the distance makes no sense because it shouldn't be as the crow flies. It should be the distance where
a vehicle can travel. That's a very specific point, though. We're having cases where, and in fairness, the reason I'm pushing on this is because it was your neighbour and party colleague, Mary Coughlin, that introduced this system. You know, they are measuring roads, but not how do you determine what a road could be travelled on?
It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. We're going on the regional
road.
So do
you buy a school bus or a car?
Yeah, well, whatever road the bus travels on. But if they're measuring it, they measure it as the crow flies. Now, the other one, we have had dealings with the former Minister of State, Kieran Cannon, when we had public meetings and demonstrations in Balbofeno. He wouldn't even meet. I mean, this is happening right throughout this country. They won't even meet delegations. I remember when we were in government, you could go to a meeting at the weekend and you could guarantee a delegation that would meet the Minister the following week. But what this is doing is dividing families. There are some families who have gone to Columbus. They should be allowed to continue as it is, instead of dividing families. And I think it's very wrong. And we shouldn't have this. Shouldn't be a major issue. I had issues like this in West Donegal when Sean Haughey was minister, and we resolved them by way of meeting with them. But if you don't talk to each other, it's not possible to resolve problems.
Is the problem not that Bossaire are making these decisions?
Well, being the cope of agreement on this issue, I can say. I mean, you're aware of the situation in the show with the Memoir Gap. Absolutely bonkers.
Well, they're using that as a distance gauger, but it's not actually being used as the route.
But you have a situation. I raised this with Damien English, the minister, repeatedly. Absolutely bonkers. Where parents basically living on the foot of Memoir Gap on the Urra side. We're being asked to travel over Memoir Gap, you know, as the crow flies. Everybody knows it's not possible, not alone in winter, but in, you know, any kind of stormy kind of conditions. Rather than go the school they've always gone to in Carndonagh. And there's other examples in Donegal.
What would your party do about it, though?
Well, I think we need to have some common sense about this.
And what would that be? Remember, you have to apply this right across the country. It can't be specific to your local area.
Apparently, it's the closest navigable route, which is like for walking or bicycles. We have to be sensible. We're talking about a school bus here. So whatever is the safest route for a school bus. And I think also where siblings have been going to school over years, we shouldn't break up siblings going to the same school.
Niamh Kennedy, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, no, I've made representations to families as well with the same issues.
It's a countywide problem.
It is a countywide problem, there's no doubt about it, and it does need to be looked at, and common sense does need to apply here.
Paddy Hart?
I agree with everyone, there's a custom and practice issue here. I mean, if something like this is going to be introduced, then it really needs to be introduced over a very long period of time. People have custom and practice has meant that people have been going to schools in a certain way. I'm aware of the Memoir Gap. And I'm aware of the East Donegal one.
Government haven't been listening to this. There was a huge campaign in the Fun Valley, and the current government sitting there have not listened to the people and their concerns. And not only that, I tried to get the road tired from Castlefin to Rafoe, and it was refused to be put on the programme. And it's not a gridded road. To go to Rafoe, but the main Lifford to Balbofey Road is a gridded road.
Well, let's talk
so,
about.
I mean, the issue. No, the people in the area mm-hmm. understand that the government hasn't listened to their concerns, and not only that, to the concerns that has been raised by Padraig about the more gap down in Inishowen. The issue here is that government who are elected by the people are not listening to the people. And if I get elected, I can tell you this: they'll listen to me.
Okay, do you want to come in?
Yeah, well, I just don't see why common sense doesn't apply to all this. I mean, I went to school in Carndonagh, which is the biggest school in Ireland when I was there, and everybody travelled from Urras and Kilmany into Carndonagh. And now they want to shift families and friends and send them across a hill to Buncrana. There may be nothing wrong with the schools in Buncrana, but they completely mess up everybody's routine, and change means cost, and cost is more money down the drain.
Tim?
I think really the reason common sense isn't being applied here is because most of these decisions in any sector essentially of society are being made by people in offices in Dublin who have no experience of rural life, and really it typifies a situation in Irish politics where decisions are centralised, and what we need is more and more power to be given back to the local people, and decision-making made as closely as possible to those people.
Okay, we are heading towards a commercial break. We'll be back with more on the debate after this quick break. And you're very welcome back. A texter says, my wife took her own life in November. 531 people, they say, last year died by suicide. none of the candidates, generally speaking, not those here immediately, have mentioned the state of mental health in Ireland, and particularly the lack of support for families who've lost members to suicide or people with mental health issues. Who wants to come in on that? And we'll go to Niamh first and then work our way around, Niamh.
Yeah, it's a serious issue, and it is an area that has been neglected. And well, I suppose, thankfully, in the last number of years, more people have come out, and it's not as stigmatised as it used to be. GRASP is a new grouping that has been gathering money, and they're all totally voluntary as well. And we've done bucket collections for them and for people and to support families. It's awful to think that there is no support out there for them and that we have to try as communities to pull together.
Well, there is that, and there is Pieta House, Frank McBurty Jr. It seems that the communities and the people themselves are having to drive to combat.
Well, nobody can accuse me of not promoting positive mental health. When I was mayor of this county, I held the biggest ever conference that a mayor ever held in the county, and there was 28 different organisations that were represented at the conference, and it was held in Jackson's Hotel. At the time, I took it to my own home area because I felt that the area has probably suffered more than any other part of the county with suicide. Suicide is a huge question. No one knows why people do it. I believe that Kathleen Lynch, who gave me a commitment at the time, she was going to roll out the SAM conference that I held, Sport, Aid and Mental Health. I feel that sport plays a vital part in every community, and it also plays a vital part in promoting positive mental health. And I think that not enough money in a rural county, we get about $1 million out of the sports grant every year. I think that that should be trebled. And Donegal.
It's part of the problem then that we're talking about sort of like it's a very fine way of tackling it but might not suit everybody, that we're almost talking about aspects of a sports grant to address the initial problem we're talking about, which is mental health. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Positive mental health, every single organisation, and in particular Jigsaw, the great work that they've done here in Letterkenny, there should be government funding to be able to put outreach clinics all over the county from Jigsaw, because young people can relate to young people. People my age can relate to people my age. Older people can relate to older people. And that's the problem. You have to find somebody that you can relate to in mental health. But I sat in this studio and I shared my own personal recovery story with Sean Doherty on the Sean Doherty Show. And I think the word stigma should be replaced by the word understanding.
Okay, Deputy Pádraig McLaughlin, what's your party's commitment to mental health?
Well, as part of that plan I talked about earlier on, the 3.3 billion additional expenditure. Under that, there would be hundreds of millions of investment in the whole area of mental health at grassroots level and in terms of the necessary personnel that's required. I mean, we know that there's been a failure to deliver on targets repeatedly. I chaired the Oireachtas Petitions Committee, as you know, Greg, and one of the best petitions that came before us was a citizen who said that the road safety awareness campaigns had a major impact, you know, those very hard-hitting campaigns on TV, and they felt that we needed to invest the same resources in suicide awareness, particularly about young men. It was a huge issue in terms of young males in this state, way above the European
average.
Would you
do something then to, or someone else, maybe Paddy Hart, if you want to come in here, do we need then to do something to, as it relates to the recording and the reporting of suicide? Because people discuss how do you tackle an issue, but if you don't actually know the numbers, and there's a lot of evidence to suggest that in many cases for sensitivities or for other reasons, the level is not accurately recorded. Is this something close to your heart, or what would you do about it?
Well, I'd like to go back a little earlier. I think as a policy, there should be parity of physical and mental health. We have physical education in schools. We should have the exact same amount of mental health in schools. It is such a fundamental issue now. Everyone agrees around the table. It is such a fundamental issue for young people. And all of us are touched by it. I'm not going to go into the whole issue about recording. I think we really, really need to work, no matter who's in government, if I'm elected or not elected, I will be more than happy to fight for a parity between physical and mental health.
Fianna Fáil's Pantacoke Gallagher.
Well, the first thing that we would propose doing is establishing a national mental health authority, that it should be totally recognised, and just as other authorities are recognised. And what we would have to do, we should be providing a service that meets the demands of the people of this country and particularly this county. But to do that, we must increase the availability of staffing. We must increase the resources that's necessary, and that there should be out of hours. There should be 7/24 out of hours services available for these people. It has to be properly funded to meet the demands of the public. There is a very clear difference, and that is if one has a physical ailment, it can be also, it's tangible. But the mental one is not tangible. And I think we must listen to people. And there are so many people that are out there crying out for help.